So why twice? If you were here last week, you would know that last week we read out of the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, it was the story of the disciples up in the upper room, and that Jesus came in and showed his hands and his feet and his side, and then he had to show it again to Peter, not to Peter, to Thomas, so that Thomas could believe. So why twice? Why the following week are we back here again having to look at the fact that Jesus came to his disciples, showed his hands and showed his feet and showed his side, and even at this time, had to eat to prove to his disciples that his resurrected body wasn't that of a ghost, that his resurrected body was as human as yours and mine. I think we need it more than twice, personally. But I want to share the setting again to what's happening on this day, because you know how stories are told? Stories are always told from our perspective. Like, if you were to ask Donald Rose what happened yesterday at the walk, she would tell you one story. If you were to ask me, I would tell you another story. If you were to ask Danielle, she would tell you a third story, because we were all in different parts. If you were to ask DJ, he would even have a different way of telling the story of what happened. Or even to ask Scott this morning, what happened on the walk that they took? We didn't go to Emmaus, but we certainly did go to the end of the road and back. But we would all have different perspectives. We would have the perspective of the first time showing up and actually taking some steps. We'd have the perspective of the cameraman who got caught having to fix buggies. We'd have the perspective of the mother who watched her daughter make amazing strides and ended up being the last one to be able to go out and come back. And we'd have the story of a father who not only ran the race, ran back to get to his son so that his son could finish the race and so could Pastor Carolyn at some point. But the stories would all be different. Well, this morning, we're looking at a gospel story. John told it one way, and Luke is telling it this way. Luke is telling it from the perspective of the disciples once again in that upper room. But the front story that we didn't hear was this was after that walk to Emmaus, when Cephas and his companion had left Jerusalem, not quite certain what those women had said, and they were talking and chatting, and Jesus showed up, but they couldn't recognize him. And he gave them the whole scriptures of his story, of how God was moving through the Old Testament into this moment when Christ would arise. But they didn't get it until he broke the bread. And when he broke the bread, he disappeared. Now, I know some of you don't watch science fiction and fantasy, but doesn't this feel a little bit ghost-like? A little bit like Outer Limits sort of thing? The man shows up, no one knows him, then the man disappears when he breaks bread. I would begin to wonder, is he real? Is he alive? Is he human? So then they run and they get to the upper room and they tell their story about how he did this and who he was, and he broke bread and look, there he was and he was gone. And then they turn and there he is again. And he says, peace be with you. So at this point, if you were a disciple, wouldn't you be a bit confused? You'd be excited because there was Jesus, but is that really Jesus? Can I touch you? Can you howl? Can you squeak? Can you do what you need to do so I know you're real? And he does. He eats. He eats. But why do we have to know this story? Why do we have to know the story that the resurrection of Jesus Christ meant that he bodily resurrected, meant that he became as human as you and I, even though he appeared continually and disappeared continually? He was resurrected. He wasn't you and I. He was the resurrected Christ, but in full corporality. He was a human, flesh and bone person. Why do we need to know that? Without it, can we tell the gospel story? Without his resurrection and ascension into heaven, can we tell the story of God's love for us? Can we tell the story of a God who is faithful? Can we tell the story of the hope and the promise of the transformation of the world without a real, corporal, physical Jesus Christ risen from the dead? Can we? They asked me that in seminary. Now, granted, I did go to a Roman Catholic seminary, so don't hold that against them. But the question might be, why would you even ask the question? Because without the risen Savior, does anything make sense? And if it doesn't make sense without the risen Savior, then God did everything he could so that we could have what we needed to witness to the truth. He gave the disciples as much physical reality as they could absorb so that when they became the first witnesses, they had authenticity behind them. In early worship, they said it wouldn't be fake news. We wouldn't have to scroll for fake news because it was real and they were there and they could witness to the reality of it. But in the John passage last week, it mentioned, Jesus said, but those of you who do not see and believe are blessed. And aren't we in that group? The ones who cannot see and eat fish with Jesus, but we believe. And so what are we called to do? We are called to witness to that story. So how do we witness to this story so that people who don't know Jesus can believe? How do we do that? This is what I think. Might not be what you think, but it's what I think. I think it's how my story is intertwined with this story. One of my favorite hymns is Blessed Assurance because of the chorus. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. When I think about my life prior to Christ and where it could have gone, it's a pretty sad story. It could have gone to the dissolution of a marriage. It could have gone to working for the federal government for the rest of my life. Oh, that's worse than anything I could think of. But it also could have gone in very other negative ways that we don't have to talk about here. But the reality is that there are certain things of the world that can capture us and hold us because they feel real. But Christ came into my life so that Christ is real for me without even eating a piece of fish. Christ is so real to me that night when I said, I just can't believe you were God. And he said, why not? And I went, oh, I guess I can. And what happened that night was that turning point, that transformation point in my life. Because Christ became real in my life, I was never ever thinking myself as someone all by herself and alone, even in a crowd. I could see myself as beloved of God. And I could see that Christ came in the form of a Marine, whose words sometimes are rather colorful, whose understanding of the world may be slightly different from his wife's, but not his ability to love. So Christ was real to me through a flesh and bone Marine, as broken as me, but as beautiful as any man I'll ever see. That is my story, but it's intertwined with Christ's story because it was Christ's unconditional love that healed our marriage, that brought us through some rough times in all 46 years we've been together. But we wouldn't be where we are today without the gift of a resurrected Christ. He didn't eat fish with us, but he certainly transformed us and healed us. So how do we witness today to a resurrected Christ? We get vulnerable, brothers and sisters. We got to get vulnerable. We got to be willing to risk ourselves to share the story of God's salvation with people that might scare us. And they may be our neighbor. They may be our parent. They may be our distant relative. They may be a stranger. But the transformation of the world starts with us being willing to share this witness and this story by sharing our story with the people who need to hear it. Because there are many sitting alone in apartments wondering if God is real and if they're worth anything and if they're all alone in the world and no one knows or loves them. There are many people who are sitting on the side of the road who haven't had a meal or haven't had a home in years. There are many people in our office and in our schools who think they're not worthy of love. It doesn't matter where we are. You're going to find someone who needs to know the story of a resurrected God, who needs to know the story that transformation can happen, who needs to know the story that death is not the answer. Not their death through suicide, not their death through any means. The answer is to take the risk to love. And when we take that risk to love each other, then God can use God's Holy Spirit power, because it doesn't happen through anything else but the Holy Spirit, that we are transformed and that our neighbor is transformed and that the world is transformed. Why twice? Because we got to hear it more than once. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.